Say you're born in Huntsville, Alabama. You double major in math and music performance at the University of Texas on a full scholarship in violin performance. You're on track to become a musician or a mathematician. That was Felicia Day's path until she moved to Los Angeles and created, wrote, and starred in a web series about online role-playing games. It's called The Guild. After millions of views and many awards, the success of The Guild led to collaborations with people like Joss Whedon. Felicia Day is the author of a new memoir, and Doug Gordon sat down to talk with her.
Felicia, your book is called You're Never Weird on the Internet, almost, and it's a great title, and it raises the question, why are you, Felicia Day, as well as the millions of others who use the internet, never weird? What is it about the internet that nullifies the weirdness factor?
I think that the internet allows us to connect with people and make us feel like we are accepted and belong in a way that we could never feel in real life. I think if you're confined to the people around you, you might not necessarily be celebrated for all the things that you feel fulfill yourself. And therefore, you might abandon the things that you love because you're not accepted. And the great thing about the internet is that it opens doors around the world to people you can connect with and share a joy of something with and be yourself. And that's, I guess, why I chose that title.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Now, you were born in Huntsville, Alabama, and you spent a lot of your childhood being homeschooled. Why?
I was homeschooled because my dad was in the military, and we were stationed in places that didn't have very good school systems, and my mom is kind of a free spirit, so she just arbitrarily decided, well, we don't have any alternatives, let's just not send you to school.
So how big a part do you think that your homeschooling, how big a part did that play in setting you on this path to using your weirdness to create the popular web series, The Guild, and to become web famous?
As far as homeschooling, I think it really is the reason why I'm here. I don't think that growing up in a traditional schooling system with traditional gender roles sort of imposed on me and the traditional paths of popularity or likability or attractiveness, I don't think any of those things would have encouraged me to start, you know, loving video games, turning a video game story into fiction, picking up a camera and thinking I could really take down the system and go around the system in a way that was very naive and kind of ridiculous. Had I known what I know now, I don't know if I would have been brave enough to try because the odds were so daunting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you attended the University of Texas at Austin, and so you graduate from college at the age of 20, taught for 4% of your class, then you decide to go to Los Angeles to pursue a career acting, an acting career. So what were those early years in L.A. like?
You know, they were very difficult going to L.A. with really no connections. It was a struggle, and I started getting very depressed. And even though I made a living with especially commercial acting, I got very depressed. And that's when I started playing video games to the point where I was like, oh, this is a problem.
Yeah, and it really was a problem, wasn't it? This is like late 2005, I think, you started playing this new online game.
Yeah, it's a game called World of Warcraft, and it really was the first MMO to really take the world by storm. An MMO is a massively multiplayer online game. So you have maybe millions of people all over the world logging on at the same time and playing a game together. So it really was the first projected self in an online world that felt very social. In that you're doing something with other people.
Sure, I mean, you're doing it as an alter ego, right? You have an alter ego.
Yes.
Who was your avatar?
My avatar was a gnome. I had a little tiny gnome with very tall hair. And you get together and you go through dungeons, and then you just kind of chat with people, either typing or eventually voice chat. And it really was an amazing thing for me that I let get out of control because I was unhappy in my real life.
How out of control did it get?
I mean, I would play like 8, 10, 12 hours a day. I would wake up and have an agenda, a to-do list for my game. So that was when I had friends around me in real life say, hey, you're playing this game too much. You need to stop.
And you were able to do that? You were able to stop cold turkey?
Well, I talk about it in my book that it was definitely a struggle. I tried to wean myself off, and it never worked, really. So I had to go cold turkey and how hard that was. And it was only through a support group that I joined with some other women who were trying to achieve things in Hollywood that really kind of almost shamed me into getting serious about creating something other than potions inside this video game. And that's where the story of The Guild, the web series that I wrote and created back in 2007, emerged.
Yeah. So tell me about The Guild. How did that come about?
It started because I wanted to write a pilot. And when I set out to write something to feel productive about myself, I wrote about gamers because I'd been online all my life.
Mm-hmm. And it became very successful. Although it started out as this real low budget, almost no budget production, it became very successful. And you actually started getting paid to make it. How did that happen?
Yeah, no, it got very successful and YouTube featured us and we got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of views. And it was really a dream come true. And I don't know how I decided to take the path I did, except I just had faith in our audience that we could make it no matter what. That's sort of, confidence that you can't tell me not to make this. I don't need your permission is really a driving force in my life.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Express yourself, a chance to express yourself and embrace your weirdness. Now, you mentioned the Guild was a dream come true, but it wasn't without this kind of nightmarish aspect because towards the end of doing the sixth season, you were getting stressed out and depressed. In fact, you say that the stress started killing you, literally. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, well, it was really two women making this whole show the whole time. We were essentially making movies every year for 6 years of our lives with no help. And I personally was so ruled by anxiety in my life because of probably being homeschooled and very sheltered that it got very out of control because I was being pulled in so many different directions. And the stakes, I thought, were so important to keep everything so incredibly successful. So I burned my thyroid out. I have horrible acid reflux that to this day is something I have to deal with health-wise that is very detrimental to my health. And I really entered a massive depression that really took me to the edge of my own mind. And I still marvel at the fact that I'm still here making content because there were many times when I just wanted to pick up and leave and stop everything and just not be a public figure anymore. And because my world was going so fast, I didn't know that I could say no to everything in order to recover myself, which I eventually did because I got help. And, in going around the country talking about this book, the most amazing thing is that people have come up to me and said, thank you for making me not feel alone. Thank you for showing me there's a path out of this. Thank you for just encouraging me to go get therapy and or see a doctor to try to know that this is not something I have to live with every day. I can try to get at least some control or knowledge over myself in order to be able to not be ruled by my brain telling me that I need to self-destruct every second.
Well, one of the things that I really related to was your description of having trouble living in the moment, because that's a big issue for me. You say that you often spend a lot of time panicking about the future or regretting the past, but then after you had some time and you learned to say no to people and things weren't as hectic for you, you reformed your brain to live in the present. Can you explain how you were able to do this?
I mean, I can't say that it's something that I am constant with, but I do have the awareness that, if you're anxious, you try to control everything in order to make sure that things don't come at you and startle you because you don't know how to cope. So being able to cope with startling things or surprising things or unexpected things allows you to be a little gentler with yourself because you know you can deal with it. And in kind of training myself that no matter what happens, whether you're in a car crash or your career goes south or, some horrible tragedy happens to you or you just flub your lines, that will happen, and then you figure out what to do after that. It's okay to have some unknown branches in your life. You can't predict everything that's going to happen. And I think just sort of embracing yourself with that warm pool of acceptance is something that I just try to encourage myself to do, knowing that, we have a beginning and we have an end. And if you're always running, you don't see the path that you're living in. There's no point because it's almost like telling myself that regret is a very sad thing to live with. So always, take the time to acknowledge the moment.
Yeah. You've experienced a lot of success with the internet, but you've also experienced the dark side of the net. Some people, trolls, have said a lot of terrible things about you online, and you actually keep a hate folder on your desktop computer. Can you give me an example or two of the kind of comments that are in the hate folder?
I mean, a lot of the folder is not worthy of reproduction. A lot of it is profanity that you probably would never want to hear. A lot of it is, the most hurtful ones that I get, even to this day, are that Felicia Day is not a gamer. Her career is all built on exploiting people. She shames nerds and geeks. Years past, I've struggled with that kind of negative attention and wanted to chase these people down and correct them because they're wrong or I need them to like me. And I think at a certain point, you just have to let that go and know that they're very sad people and they're toxic.
Is there a particular time or event that you can pinpoint as the moment when you fully embraced your weirdness, or are you still working towards that?
I mean, I think when the Guild was accepted by people and it kept being accepted by more and more people, I think I finally felt that I belonged and that I could be myself, because through that story and through playing that character and telling those character stories, I found a sense of truth and connection with people that I had lost in trying to fit in Hollywood. At the end of the day, that sense of acceptance is something everybody should have in their life, because if you're feeling shamed about who you are, if it's a career or hobby, like, that's, you're not surrounded by the right people.
Yeah.
And there is the opportunity to find those people online. And that's why I love what I love and would never just jump away from it for other opportunities.
Felicia Day is the creator of the award-winning web series, The Guild. She talked with Doug Gordon about her memoir, You're Never Weird on the Internet, almost.